I'm Kristen Hetzel, co-host of Dining at Disney podcast. Every week, I chat about dining at Disneyland and Walt Disney World Resort and Disney Cruise Line with my fellow foodie, Bubba. We also feature restaurants and food reviews, information to help you plan your dining, Disney food news, recipes, and a monthly panel discussion. Visit diningatdisney.com and subscribe to Dining at Disney podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or your favorite podcast platform. Dining at Disney podcast, the happiest plate on earth.
Skull Rock Podcast, talking all things Disney with your hosts, Aljon Goh and Dave Bossert.
Do you just love to learn more about the magic that embodies animated films, theme park attractions, and more? The all-encompassing universe created and produced by the genius of Walt Disney has spanned nearly 100 years and counting.
From his earliest film endeavors with the Laugh-O-Gram cartoons and the Alice comedies, to the creation of Mickey Mouse, to the first animated feature film, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and then dreaming of Disneyland, Walt Disney continuously raised the creative bar, and today his company has carried on that tradition as a global entertainment juggernaut. I'm Dave Bossert, artist, filmmaker, and author.
And I'm Aljon Goh, musician, podcaster, and radio guy. Every week, Dave and I will explore the entertainment galaxy that is Disney with insightful conversation, stories, and special guests talking all things Disney.
Listen to never-before-heard stories and behind-the-scenes moments from some of your favorite Disney films, theme park attractions, performances, books, music, and so much more from knowledgeable, insightful, and thought-provoking hosts and guests. Hear the latest news about Disney past, present, and future.
Skull Rock Podcast is your go-to source for the magic we all love. Skull Rock Podcast. Visit skullrockpodcast.com. Welcome to yet another edition of The Disney List. My name is Aljon Goh, lifelong Marvel, Disney, and Star Wars fan, joined by travel guru and dining at Disney.com hostess, Kristen. Hello.
Hello.
This week, what is our topic? What
are we talking about? We are talking about the best times to visit Walt Disney World.
Indeed. Before we get that list going, we also have some Disney news and travel deals for you. But I encourage everyone that is listening to the show to give us a big thumbs up, all those hearts on all the social media platforms, and subscribe to the show on Apple, Spotify, Google, everything, iHeartRadio, and listen to us on SorcererRadio.srsounds.com. We also would encourage you to shop using our affiliate links in the show notes and book your next Disney trip with Kristen, because now people are getting vaccinated. And people are getting ready to book and talk about booking their trips. A lot of people have already contacted you, but we need you to go ahead and book your trip with Kristen, because we know that we have a lot of listeners out there that still are doing it the hard way. We want you to do it the easy way. Kristen, not only will you save the money, but you got a lot of know-how.
I do. I've been doing this now. I just realized it's been officially over 10 years.
Wow, that's awesome. And it's great that now you know your way around the parks. You know a lot about Disney food, obviously, because of your site Dining at Disney and your podcast and everything. But how can people get in touch with you so you can book their trip and give them all the great advice and save money?
ThemeParksAndCruises@gmail.com.
I love it. Now, let's get this show on the road.
Of the Sorcerer Radio Network.
Imagination, huh?
Ladies and gentlemen,
broadcasting from the Tiki Room Studios in Music City,
it's the Disney List.
The Disney List.
You've got to have characters that the audience, the viewer, the reader cares about.
What makes a hero? What's friendship? What's the idea of sacrificing yourself for something larger?
With the hope that it will be a source of joy and inspiration to all the world.
The Disney List on Sorcerer Radio.
with your hosts, Kristen and Al John.
Welcome to the show, everyone. What's going on? I hope you're doing well. That's all I'm saying. You know, we're having a great show here. My name's Al John Go, lifelong Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars fan. Joined by my co-hostess, Kristen. Kristen with DiningAtDisney.com and the Dining at Disney podcast. What's going on?
Not much. It's Sunday, and that means tomorrow is Monday, and it's back to the crazy madness.
But does the madness ever end?
Not really.
I don't think so. I don't think it ever ends.
It just gets a little easier on the weekends because you don't work Saturday and Sunday. And so that gives me two more hands than I already have to kind of juggle two little babies.
This is true. I'd like to give everybody a little shout out in joining us in the live chat. Lindsay and Joan are here, some of our top fans. We appreciate that. If you're watching us on whatever social network live, you can participate in the live chat by visiting us on this link. This is facebook.com/thedisneylist. And you just click on the live show, get that bell for notifications every time we go live. And you can also check us out on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com on the talk side. And man, so psyched about what we're going to be talking about, Kristen. What's our big topic, our big list we're going to share with everybody?
The best times to visit Walt Disney World.
Absolutely. There's nothing like it. You know, everybody asks us, when's the best time to go? And if I had a dollar for every time someone asked me that question, we would totally be set for life, I think.
So there's one issue with that particular question. Mm-hmm. Is the best times depend on what it is you are looking for with your vacation. Mm-hmm. So I always, when somebody asks me that, I'm like, are you asking me when it's the least crowded? Or are you asking me when is the coolest stuff going on at Disney? And that's why with this particular episode, I said to you, we need to do this show twice because one is the times when it's going to be the least crowded. That's not always the time when the most things are going on and that you can have the most fun at the park.
Yeah. Well,
so right. This one is about when it's least crowded for those who are looking to be able to get in the more attractions and things like that.
So when I was typing the title for the show as we went live, you couldn't just stop me and say, shouldn't you change the title?
Well, it's still the best times to take a vacation, depending on the crowd level.
Joan in the chat. Hello, Joan. One of our top friends says, excellent point, Kristen. And yes, it is an excellent point.
Because for somebody else, that's what I'm saying. You have two different kinds of people with that question. You have the kind that their best time is when there's hardly anybody there and they don't have to wait in lines. But to other people, the best time is when the most things are going on. And that's often when it's much busier.
We're going to delve into that later on in the show. But before we do all of that, let's get into some headline news. I meant to touch this sound effect instead. Oh, man. I feel like a hard-hitting news department whenever I hit that sound effect. It's awesome. Brings me back to my old radio days when I used to pull news and read news. At the top of the hour, every hour, Al John Go with Disney Headline News. Kristen, we saw Captain America and Winter Soldier. It's not anymore. No longer Falcon and Winter Soldier. It is Captain America and Winter Soldier. And I know that you have ties to Winter Soldier cast member. Is that right?
I do.
Talk about it.
Okay. So my day job before all this craziness happened was working at a place called Rockstar Academy of Dance. Now, this place, not only does it do dance, but on the other side is also the after school program.
Are they paying you for this?
And no.
Are they paying for this plug?
No.
Go ahead. I'm just joking. Jimmy and Lacey, I'm just joking. Although you could, I mean,
Maybe. Not right now. Not considering the place got flooded.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right.
So I work on the after school side.
Yep.
And this little boy that I'm about to talk about, Aaron, he is on the dance side. He does like hip hop and stuff like that. Really cool kid. And him and his sister occasionally in the summer would be there maybe like a day or two because of, you know, stuff going on with their parents and they needed to have them over with us. And so we would have, you know, Aaron and Amaya there. So 2 years ago, Aaron finds out that he is going to be in a TV show, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So of course, his mom, being super proud, Erica, like, posted lots of things about this as the episodes were coming out.
And you did get permission and to talk about this story,
yes,
too, with mom.
Yes, I did. I already ran this by my friend Erica.
Yeah.
And she made this really interesting, cool post today on her Facebook page. And that's why I had asked her if I could share, because it's a really cool story. She posts this picture of Aaron when he's little, and she says, when this picture was taken, Aaron was just a toddler obsessed with Captain America. Never in a million years did I think there would be a Captain America that looked like him, much less that he would play his nephew. This one means even more today than it did almost 10 years ago. And that just like...
Show it to the folks. There you go.
I mean, look at that. It's little baby awesome. Aaron.
That is awesome.
But I'm like, I think it's so cool that, you know, as a kid, he loved Captain America. And he now, as, you know, he's in that like preteen years.
Man, his headshots for his acting career, man, they look super sharp, man.
The one of him with like, that picture Erica has posted many times of him. Yeah. And he's like so cool looking in that.
Man, man. He was awesome.
He's a cool kid. And I did run it by mom, asking her if at some point in the very near future we could have him on the podcast.
Well, I hope I hope Marvel Studios says yes, you can, because it's fascinating to me when actors so young get cast in these roles and they're really, really good. I mean, really, really good in the role. So kudos, because I tell you, Falcon and Winter Soldier, I really enjoyed the show. I really did. I liked all the shows on Disney Plus, you know, the Mandalorian, of course, WandaVision was great, but Aaron did a great job. And luckily he played a character who also has a name that starts with an A. So, AJ, the nephew of Falcon, which is awesome. Anthony Mackie, amazing actor. And what a great way to kind of, now that the series has run its course, the season finale here, we're not going to spoil it, but I thought it was amazing. The series is great. The last episode was great. Really enjoyed looking forward to more Captain America and Winter Soldier, Captain America being the Falcon version of Captain America. And who knows, you might have an old Steve Rogers come back as well at some point. What do you think about that?
That would be interesting.
That would be great. Just like the comics. Freaking sweet. I'm loving it. Did you get this news too? Did you hear about this?
What?
Captain America 4 is in the works. This is kind of the segue from, you know, your friend there.
Yeah.
That used to...
Aaron Hayes is his name.
Yes, the actor Aaron Hayes. Great, great kid. And was he around when I came over there and did Christmas carols and taught about guitar and stuff?
I don't think so. You don't know?
Okay, anyway. Anyway, the 6-episode series, Falcon and Winter Soldier on Disney Plus, of course, has come to an end. And we know now that a Captain America 4 movie is in the works with Anthony Mackie playing Captain America. And along for the ride, I understand, is Sebastian Stan, who played Bucky Barnes, a.k.a. the Winter Soldier. And so looking forward to that. And it should be noted that the showrunner, Malcolm Spellman, is going to be scripting the movie as well. So, Ooh. Yeah, a lot of intrigue, great stuff there. I think Anthony Mackie, once again, an amazing actor. Great job, and kudos once in Sebastian Stan. I mean, those two really have great chemistry together, in my opinion.
I agree. I think I just like Anthony Mackie a lot. He just seems like such a nice, like genuine person. Mm-hmm. And that's why for the longest time we were watching The Masked Singer, and it ended up being, oh my gosh, I just forgot his name. Whose line is it anyway? Wayne Brady.
Yeah.
And it ended up being Wayne Brady. The whole time I thought Wayne Brady was Anthony Mackie.
Mm-hmm. All right. Christopher Lane in the chat says, why only 6 versus at least 9 like all the rest of the miniseries? Well, initially they were all supposed to be 6 episodes. And because of the length of some of the other series, I think they decided to split up some of WandaVision initially. And kind of spread that out over time. So I think initially they're going for 6 episode series, like Loki is supposed to be 6 episodes, but you never really know. I think it's more of a guideline than a hard and fast rule these days.
Isn't it also that the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the episodes were longer in length?
They were.
Mm-hmm. Than WandaVision?
Yeah, there's a couple of factors, I think, with a couple of these series. With this one in particular, as well as WandaVision, Falcon Winter Soldier were supposed to come out first. And I think there were some issues with the pandemic and trying to get things kind of wrapped up and completed. And I think WandaVision was also part of that. I think there were some production issues that happened to coincide with the pandemic, which kind of led to some kind of weirdness there. But I think we're going to see more of those episodes. You're going to find that it's either going to be like a 9 episode type of thing moving forward with some of the Disney Plus programs after this year. So hopefully you'll be able to get that and kind of space them out. But also note this, Christopher, I know that it's taking millions and millions of dollars per episode. In other words, they're spending an entire movie budget on these 6 episodes. So if you can imagine, spending $300 million, $250 million on a Marvel movie, that's how much they're spending on a series. So it's quite... Every one of these movies and series are spending quite a bit of money.
But they're all movie quality, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not going to say any spoilers. I'll let you guys check that out. So anyway, Lindsay's got a comment in the chat. What is that?
I love the Falcon. I love the Falcon becomes Captain America.
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, too... Falcon from Lindsay's neck of the woods there down south, New Orleans, baby, right? In Louisiana, seriously, pretty awesome. Awesome stuff. But anyway, looking forward to that. Another thing to look forward to is Disneyland Paris. And speaking of Anthony Mackie, I believe he's got a little message for us regarding Marvel and a brand new announcement.
Here. In case you didn't hear the good news yet, the first ever hotel dedicated to the art of Marvel will open very soon in Europe at Disneyland Paris. How cool is that?
Cool.
Disney's Hotel New York, the Art of Marvel, will be home of the largest publicly viewable collection of Marvel artworks.
Wow.
You will find more than 300 items on display, including exclusive pieces created by amazing artists. Now, if you're a fan, it's a place you're going to want to stay in. You might even get the chance to admire beautiful artworks inspired by the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I personally can't wait to visit and have a blast at Disneyland Paris. See you there.
Wow.
Disney's Hotel. I love it, right? The Marvel Hotel, which is great. And, they have one in New York. And this is going to be even bigger than that. So I love it. 350 pieces of Marvel art on display. And it's going to be a great place to stay if you're a Disney or Marvel fan, for sure, if you're a Marvel fan. So I'm looking forward to that. There you go. Anthony Mackie, the man. How about this? May the 4th be with you. It's close, isn't it? It's really close. Yes, Star Wars Day is soon upon us, and you'll be able to check out a brand new shopping event that's going to be taking place at the Star Wars Trading Post. So you're going to be getting all of that stuff there at the Disneyland Resort at that little trading post. I'm sure Bub will, Bub, for your co-host there at Dining at Disney, will be heading down there to the Trader's Post to check out all the new lightsabers that they're going to have there. They're going to have limited edition merchandise while supplies last, and it's going to be reservation only for this event.
Wow.
So be sure to pay attention. I guess they're going to have more details on that posted on social media for this. So be sure to check out the Disneyland Resort Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for this. Reservation only, and I'm sure all of it is going to sell out. They're going to have apparel, pins, and a new legacy lightsaber hilt to add to the collection. I can't wait to figure out what's going on there with a legacy hilt.
Very, you know, cool.
They have so many lightsabers that are coming out. It's like, oh man, just back up the truck. Let's spend some money there at Star Wars for May 4th. It's going to be awesome. And of course, May the 4th, I'm sure there's also going to be some stuff going on, not only at StarWars.com, but I'm sure at Targets and different things like that. They usually sell a bunch of really cool Star Wars gear during May the 4th. Speaking of cool things, Kristen, this is one of your favorite attractions, as we noted in last week's episode, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You want to take that headline there?
The People Mover, also known as the TTA, Tomorrowland Transit Authority, has officially reopened in Disney World. Yay!
Yay! I love it. So in 2020, of course, the People Mover temporarily closed for refurbishment, and it's delayed its reopening date now for several months. But right now, it is open as of today. So please feel free to check out that, one of our favorite attractions. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm sure they kind of cleaned it up. And
if you go on it, take a picture and tag us in it.
There you go. Did you know there's a new sign there at Restaurantosaurus?
Oh, I heard about that.
Okay. There's something new there. I guess they're in bed with this Impossible Burger people, and
I think Disney bought the Impossible Burger.
You think so?
I think so, because they are all about promoting the Impossible Burger, and the only reason you would promote the Impossible Burger is either they sponsor you, or you own them.
Okay, well they're
and
they're,
it is all about the Impossible
it's
Burger.
It's a partnership, y'all. It's a partnership. Mm-hmm. But the Restaurantosaurus is now the home of the Impossible Burger there. And so you can check it out over there at Animal Kingdom. And have you ever had an Impossible Burger? Let us know in the chat.
I don't want an Impossible Burger. I want a Possible Burger. I like my meat. Oh, I want the beef.
You want the beef.
Yes.
Well, great news for food. Not only, well, I'm sure you're going to talk about the Impossible Burger some more there at Dining at Disney this coming week. But I know one thing that's coming up, and you get to celebrate this for the very first time now that you're a mom. Kristen, congratulations. Happy Mother's Day early. You get to celebrate with Mother's Day treats at the Disney parks you'll celebrate that kind of in spirit, because we're not going to the Disney parks anytime soon. But
oh no, but you know what? I may have to have you like make breakfast or something that I really want. Something different.
Mark your calendar, boys, for Sunday, May 8th. Don't forget about Mother's Day. Don't be in the doghouse. Don't do it. But you're going to be able to check out all this great new food. You want to give a couple highlights here of what people can expect?
Yes. This particular one is one that I would want, and it's the raspberry and chocolate mousse tart, and it's from the Coral Reef restaurant. It has a vanilla tart, and it's filled with raspberries and chocolate mousse, topped with raspberry mousse, and then wrapped in a chocolate rope.
That looks amazing.
I'm like, I need to make some mousse. Chocolate mousse. I love chocolate mousse.
They also have some special desserts coming to La Cellier. Mm-hmm. They also have Creature Comforts Flame Tree Barbecue Restaurantosaurus over at Animal Kingdom. We've got great special cupcakes and cakes and
Now the other one that sounds really good is the one that they have at Tiffin's restaurant.
Oh, do tell.
It's called the Mother's Day Dessert, and it's coconut and caramelized pineapple mousse, coconut sorbet, almond crumble, pineapple gel, and a cherry sauce. I would just have to be like, can you just leave the cherry sauce off, please?
That is just amazing. First of all, you had me at pineapple.
And it's then, another mousse dessert.
Yeah, another mousse. Very light. Very light. Absolutely. At Disney Springs, they also have some strawberry dip bouquets, mm-hmm. which is great over there at Amorette's. And then they have the Marketplace Snacks with a Mother's Day swirl of Dole Whip strawberry and chocolate, which looks great. Also it served with a chocolate strawberry.
It's both of those are very Valentine's-y kind of looking.
They are. It's kind of... It's kind of Valentine's-y, you're right. Yeah. Less Mother's Day, more Valentine's Day. Contempo Cafe, Gasparilla Grill, Barefoot Pool Bar at Polly, and the Tambu Lounge over at Polly. Captain Cook's, the pineapple over there, the pineapple and I is also going to be at Polly. Polynesian is going to have this key lime sundae that looks really cool. Gosh, and there's Market Ale and Compass, Roaring Fork, Artist Palette has got a bunch of different things. I know you're going to break this all down over there at Dining at Disney, and you could even post some of these photos too, because, you know, we get that in the press releases. But magnifique. Oh, yes. French kiss. It's very good. It's very good.
I'm looking for somebody to help me out with Dining at Disney's website because I can't keep up with it anymore.
Yep.
I need a clone of myself.
Robert Taylor says, I just don't get the plant-based food.
See, I'm with him on that. I understand that some people don't eat animals, but it's not for me.
That's okay. I mean, look, honestly, I've had the Impossible Burger. It's very good. I'm a meatitarian. I love bacon. I love beef. I love chicken. I love fish. It's hard for me to say no, but.
Do you know who doesn't eat at Restaurantosaurus?
Who?
A Carnotaurus.
Kristen. If you have any type of Disney headlines you want us to talk about, feel free to email us and send us that DM. The best way to do it really is through our Facebook page. So please check out and give us a like and subscribe to the feed there. Facebook.com/TheDisneyList. It's that time, yo. It's that time.
Top 10.
Oh, gosh. That was abrupt. My bad. Hey, sometimes it's not easy running a live show. I've been in radio for so long.
You need a top 5 stinger.
I just need sound effects at work. It's all my fault. It's just all my fault. By the way, great background music. Back to 1981, brought to you by IO. I love synth pop. I love 80s synth pop. Can't you tell, Kristen?
You don't say.
Don't say, yeah.
You love the 80s? No.
I so love the 80s so much, y'all. So much I love the 80s. Okay, Kristen, what's on the list? What's the Disney list for this week? Tell the fine people.
We are talking about the top 5 best times to visit Walt Disney World.
Yes.
And the key is...
Go for it.
When it's not busy. So these are also the least crowded times.
Well, look, I think once again at the top of the show, you kind of laid it all out there for the listeners out there. Basically, the best time to go is when you can. Whenever you can go is always the best time to go. But when is it the least crowded? That's another part of that. When do the parks have events that you're most interested in? We used to go all the time for Star Wars weekends back in the day when it was a thing. We also used to go all the time when different events over at Epcot, like the Flower and Garden Festival or International Food and Wine Festival. The other times we also used to go to the park was anytime there was a Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party or Christmas at Epcot at, you know, at Magic Kingdom when they would have Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party or Osborne Family Lights when they used to do that over at Hollywood Studios. So Robert Taylor is like, August? Question mark. Yeah, exactly. Christopher Lane says, Erasure. Yeah, big Erasure fan. Love Erasure. No doubt. I'm big on the 80s guitar and pop stuff. Anyway, so Kristen, in particular, once again, tell the people the dealio.
Okay. So the times that I have selected are based on when the parks are the least crowded. Because a lot of times when people ask, when is the best time to go? They're actually asking, when is the least crowded time to go? When can I go and ride the most attractions and see the most shows and all of that kind of stuff? Get the most in with the least amount of wait. Mm-hmm. So that's how I did this versus the best time to go to catch a whole bunch of cool things going on. That's a whole other episode we're going to do.
Yes.
But these are the least crowded times, best time to go so that you can ride the most attractions in the most amount of time. Mm-hmm. Okay. So my first one that I'm going to actually just do this like as a calendar year.
Go for it.
So we're going to start with the first best time to go is mid-January through the beginning of February. Mm-hmm. Kids have now gone back to school. There's not any holidays in those time periods. People don't want to pull their kids out of school because they just went back to school. And the one other thing, this is a bonus when you're going at this time, the weather's really nice too. It's not hot. It's comfortable. Some of the days can be cool. So, you know, you can wear a jacket some days or you can wear a t-shirt other days. So that's the one nice thing about going in that time of year. You're not going to get all hot and sweaty.
Right.
So.
I agree.
And we have gone many, many times the last week of July or the first week of February. So, you know, firsthand, those are very good times to go.
It is. But, you know, also keep in mind, too, that there are a lot of closures during that time as well because of weather. So obviously you won't be able to go to Typhoon Lagoon or Blizzard Beach typically, which are the water parks. There are other types of water rides and attractions that won't be open. They'll be closed for refurbishment historically around that time. If you're listening to this in the future, after Splash Mountain gets its remake, gets its overhaul to the Tiana Princess and the Frog over, you know, the theming for that. It usually is closed during that time, as well as the Kali River Rapids are also closed for refurbishment around that time. So there are going to be some things that you'll miss out on. But I think that if you're hardcore, ready to go to the parks, you want to cram as much in, you know, for a 3 or 4 day vacation. There you go. There you have it. I definitely suggest that's another show that we should do is how long should you plan your trip for? I think it'll depend on how much you want to actually catch. But that's
how much money you want to spend.
How much money do you want to? How much
what is
money?
Your budget?
What's your budget? Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, yes, I do love it in January because I feel like even in Florida, you could wear jeans and a light jacket and then ditch the light jacket later that day and still wear shorts depending on how crazy you are. Yeah, you could definitely do that.
There's days where it's, you know, 90 in July, but or January. Sorry, not July.
That's when not to go.
January.
Folks.
And then other days it can be, you know, 60s.
Yeah, so. you can bring a variety of clothes for sure. Mm-hmm. I just like walking on the rides during that time. It just feels good walking around the park wearing, you know, very, you know, where you're not sweating, as you said, you know, it's so liberating for me just to kind of be comfortable. I love that type of weather, you know, during that time. And the same can be said about Disneyland. Honestly, I love going to Disneyland in the wintertime. it's just so much fun.
You have to pack layers because once the sun is gone, it gets cold at night in California.
No doubt. Anyway, I digress. We'll talk about Disneyland later.
Okay.
All right.
So the next time I'm going to mention is late April through mid-May. And the reason being is this is after Easter. It is after spring breaks. It is before kids are out of school and it gets to be, you know, heading into that busy summer season. That's another great time to go. We often went at the beginning of May, back when Star Wars Weekends was around. That was, you know, a very popular time for us to go. Was typically the first 2 weeks of May we would go. And the water parks are open, so you don't have to worry about that. It can get quite hot. Often in May it is in the 90s, so that's one thing to consider.
Joan says here, we like going after Thanksgiving, December, January, and February, but not race weekends. And that's true.
I have times to avoid as a tips after we go through the race.
That's exactly what Mike Emke in the chat is saying. Mike says, after marathon weekend. Yeah, 100%. Avoid. Unless, of course, you're in the marathon, then have at it. All right, go ahead.
And the next time is going to be mid-September through mid-October. Kids are back in school. It's after Labor Day. It is hurricane season, so that is a downfall. A lot of people don't want to go during hurricane season. We have been many times during hurricane season, and only once had to cut our trip short. It was only by like 2 nights, and that was when... Oh, what was that hurricane that went through?
Oh, I don't remember the hurricanes, but yes. I remember getting stuck in traffic for an entire day.
Yeah, it took us 23 hours to get home.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of, I can't remember which hurricane that was. I'll have to look that up because it's going to bother me.
okay.
But the one good thing is during that time, you also have the Epcot Food and Wine Festival going on. So there is an extra event that, you know, you can't get just any time.
The Flower and Garden Festival.
No, Epcot and Epcot Food and Wine.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Not Go Flower ahead. And Garden, sorry, Food and
sorry,
Wine.
Sorry, my bad.
Fall.
Yes.
Don't confuse me.
Sorry.
Then the next time to go is at the beginning, early November. You want to go before the week of Thanksgiving, because that's when it picks up for the holiday season.
Mike Emke says, was it Ivan? In 2017, that may be the year.
No. It was after that.
Okay.
I want to say it had a girl's name.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. And then the fifth time is going to be early December. So like the first 2 weeks of December, you can enjoy all of the holiday stuff, but it's after Thanksgiving when people have gone to celebrate at Disney at that time, but it's before the Christmas rush in Irma. That's it.
Irma.
Thank you. Irma.
Oh my gosh. Hurricane Irma.
And you get to enjoy all the holiday things before it gets to be busy holiday season. So you can enjoy like the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party and things like that that are taking place in the parks. And it's not, you know, crazy busy. Like it will be starting like the week before Christmas on through. Then it's like, that's one of the busiest times you can go. So those are my top five times to visit with the least crowds. But I do have things that you can consider if... Part of it is you don't want it to be busy. These are my tips for helping you get the best vacation with the least amount of crowds. Okay. First thing is, if you can, because a lot of people can't, but if you can be flexible, that helps a lot because you can maneuver your trip around things as they come up. Always avoid holidays. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, July 4th, or if it is
Martin Luther
President's
King Day.
Day.
Yeah.
Whenever kids are out of school, that's always a time when parents will go, oh, well, let's take a long weekend, or let's take that week of school. You know, we'll pull you out of school that week. You'll only miss 4 days, or, you know, things like that.
I have a list for that list of days to avoid for holidays if anyone wants to listen to it. Shall I
go through it?
Shall I just spend some
time? Go.
All right. Martin Luther King Day in January. You're going to talk about February, President's Day, and Valentine's Day. You want to try to avoid those holidays. You want to try to avoid Easter if it falls in March. Also, local school spring breaks that happen in March and April around Easter time. You also have Earth Day at Animal Kingdom that just happened last week. You want to try to avoid that. Also, you want to try to avoid spring break and Easter, as I said, in April. You also want to avoid Memorial Day because it's
in May.
Craziness over there in May. You'll also want to check out or avoid, I should say, the summer break, which is mid-June or any summer.
June, July, August.
Fourth of July, of course, the parks are at capacity. So definitely do not go that day unless, of course, you just want to people watch. And then you can just get there early and just sit on a park bench, right? You also want to maybe avoid Labor Day in September.
That's the first
Halloween, weekend. Of course, is always packed at Magic Kingdom because of the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. The closer it gets to Halloween, the more packed Magic Kingdom is going to be. November, of course, is pretty good across the board, but as Kristen mentioned, but you'll have to also avoid Thanksgiving and, of course, the week of Christmas and New Year's. So those are kind of just your run-of-the-mill just holidays to avoid. Historically, they're always at capacity at the parks, especially Magic Kingdom. So, you know, please avoid those if you can. You know, Mike says June is usually not that busy. Well, I guess it just depends on the schools and who knows how the school years are going to be affected because of the neighboring states due to the pandemic and learning. So I'm not really sure. This is going to be an interesting year to see how the crowd flow actually is at the parks because of the pandemic. So anyway, go ahead.
Another time to avoid the parks is when there are Run Disney events. So these are the, like, if you were to go right now to rundisney.com, these are the dates you would have find for these different events based on the most current time that they were held. So, like, in 2020, November 5th through the 8th is when the Food and Wine Festival, Wine and Dine, went on. So you want to avoid that and then the beginning of that following week, because often a lot of those people, if they're coming from out of town to do the marathons or half marathons, they will then stay there for a couple days afterwards so that they can, you know, enjoy the parks as well once they're, you know, and celebrate their run. January 6th through the 10th this year was marathon weekend. And then February 18th through the 21st is the Princess Half Marathon.
You want to avoid that.
And April 15th through the 18th is Star Wars, when they do the Star Wars Marathons.
I have to also tell you, in March, you need to avoid Daytona Bike Week. I have been, you and I have both been there in March during Daytona Bike Week. And I can tell you, you went to the park, but it was busy, and I was actually in Daytona when that happened, and I was just cursing myself. Why did I do this to myself? Why didn't I remember that Bike Week happens to fall during that time? And I did it for work, y'all. So I was just, no, it was no bueno. Yeah, definitely no.
And the other thing to avoid is going pretty much when there are breaks in school, like I had mentioned before, not just with holiday, like small holidays, but just when schools are out for spring break. And I know that varies from, you know, state to state and, you know, county to county in the states, but kind of look at when your area and the schools in your around area are out and trying to, if you can avoid those weeks, that'll help you too. Mm-hmm. And it's usually, you know, during March and the beginning of April. So kind of plan to, you know, look at that's spring break and Easter all kind of like cause like a 4 to 6 weeks to kind of be out of commission for Disney if you're looking to avoid, you know, crowds. Mm-hmm. So
there you go.
Those are my tips.
I think there's another thing. Thank you for that. That was very good. And once again, you know, book with Kristen because she'll help you figure out when the best time for your family is to go. As I said earlier, go whenever you can go. Go whenever you can go. Just understand that, you know, waiting in the line, that's part of Disney too. But if we can make it easier for you and avoid those big lines and go when you can kind of walk through things, that's going to be important. And I think another thing to keep in mind too is, you know, the crowd calendar versus the weather. You mentioned this too. And I think when you look at Disney World's crowds versus the weather, where it's great, January, February, April, November are good months typically, outside of the dates that we had just mentioned. So consider going there. Understand that the weather, due to the tropical storms and different things like that, is super poor in September. That is the rainy season.
June, July, August, September is when you have hurricanes and things like that that start coming
typically
through.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
but I'll tell you one thing to do then, if you can go then and you're worried about it, get insurance. I tell people that all the time. If you're going to be putting a lot of money down on a trip, spend the little bit extra to get that. So that way, if something happens and you can't go, you're not out all that money.
Lindsay says, that's why I could never go to Disney for my birthday since it's August 30th and falls on Labor Day weekend. LOL. Oh, well, you see, do what I do. Do what Kristen does. We time shift our birthdays to celebrate during times when we go. Right. So my birthday is in December. It's in December 3rd. So it usually is not a big deal when back in the day when we used to travel, to Walt Disney World on the first week or two of December, it was never an issue. Never, never an issue. It was just one of the magical times to go. But sometimes I would time shift my birthday celebration to celebrate in that vicinity. So it could be later in November, early December, right after Thanksgiving, you know. So those are some times to kind of consider. So maybe you can time shift your birthday, you know. That's a thing. I'm making it a thing. I'm having a trend. Time shift birthday. Michael Emke also gives us a little tip. You want to read some of this Jersey week tippage that Michael's laying down? Okay. Well, I'm having you read it because my eyes are really watery because of allergies. So go ahead and read it.
It's partly mythical, partly real crowd phenomenon in November. According to Mike, New Jersey Educational Association holds a convention that's on a Thursday and Friday, the first full week of November, and the schools are out for 2 days at that time, and many families head to Disney for a long weekend.
There you go. That's Jersey week, y'all. Jersey week.
You know, we've been at that time and have not had any issues with crowds.
Yeah. I think it just depends. You know, he said it's partially mythical. So, you know, there you go. There you go. I've been to never. There are also times where you can avoid getting lines and plan hitting, you know, hitting certain parks during the week. You know, if you want to even go that far during that time. For example, whenever we plan a trip, we usually hit Magic Kingdom and Epcot during the weekday. And then we hit Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom on the weekend because everyone seems, according to crowd calendars and what we've seen, really hit Epcot and Magic Kingdom during the weekends. And we try to stay away from those places, unless, of course, it's during a special event like the Food and Wine Festival or, you know, Festival of the Arts or something like that, you know?
Well, so. We were, you know, Walt Disney World, we got our annual passes in 2009, I believe. Mm-hmm. So for over 10 years, we're annual pass holders for Walt Disney World. And we would go anywhere from like 6 to 8 times a year.
Yeah.
And I've tried all different kinds of times. And I found that sometimes they're like the last week of January, we love to go then because nice weather and the crowds are so low that, you know, Peter Pan has like a 20-minute wait and it never has 20-minute wait kind of thing.
Yeah, I worked in Orlando so much. I worked on the East Coast so much for a long stretch of years that we considered actually getting another house or getting an apartment in Orlando because I was there all the time. I was there all the time. Literally maybe twice, you know, 2 weeks out of every month.
Yeah.
I was there that much. So I was going to Disney Springs all the time. I was going to the Disney parks and, you know, after work, just heading down there, you know, and it broke my heart when I couldn't, you know, there are times that I was working and I was driving all over Florida and I just couldn't go to the parks, but I always made Orlando or, you know, somewhere around the Disney parks, my home base. So I could travel out of, and it was great while I had that territory. It was a lot of fun for sure.
That's why we got annual passes.
That's why we got annual passes. I love it.
And I loved it because I could go while you were working and just hang out in the park.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a great kind of listener question. I don't know if it was Lee that made that suggestion last week on the show, but we're happy to tackle it for you. And once again, if you have any particular questions, a top 10 list, top 5 list, vacation tips, travel plans, park hacks, just email us or DM us on Facebook, the best way to get in touch with us. And we would be happy to discuss it on an upcoming show. Kristen, do you have anything else to kind of wrap things up here for us?
Not other than we will do a best times to go to get the most extra stuff that goes on and enjoy those things.
Oh, you know, we did all this and I forgot to even mention that we actually have some Disney trip deals. Did you want to go over that real quick? I didn't even mention that. I'm like queuing up the music and I didn't
I
didn't
can
realize
quickly we're... mention a couple of them.
Okay, go for it.
If you'll pull them up for me.
Yep.
There we go.
Yeah, go for it.
And the one is the deal that is ending soon, and that's where you get 2 extra days added to your ticket when you have a 4-night, 3-day room ticket package. So you definitely want to take advantage of that.
Offer ends soon.
Also going on is an up to 30% off room discount. And that can save you a lot, especially when you're looking at staying at a deluxe resort. Adventures by Disney is now offering early booking for the 2022 land adventures that they do.
Nice.
And Aulani, if you want to go and enjoy Hawaii some, you can save up to 30% off select rooms for 5-night stays there.
Like it.
Those are some of the travel deals. Cruises are running some great deals. Norwegian Cruise Line was offering like the open bar, specialty dining, Wi-Fi. You had a $50 excursion credit, like per port, and airfare was the first person pays, the second person is free.
There you go.
So if you're looking for any cruise stuff, I do that as well. Not just Disney and Universal. So
nice. And where can people email you for those deals?
You can email me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.
I love it. I absolutely love it, especially when a plan comes together, especially when the show's about ready to end. Once again, thank you so much for joining us here on another edition of the Disney List. Kristen gave you an idea of how you can reach her if you're interested in booking those Disney trips. But once again, she is also the co-host, one of the spectacular trio of hosts there for Dining at Disney podcast. And Kristen, you had an amazing roundtable this past week.
We did. It was the Disney Happy Hour show, and we talked about the best places, or our favorite places, I should say, to dine at Disney's Animal Kingdom, because it was Earth Day, and what a better place to celebrate than the park that had its grand opening on Earth Day, Animal Kingdom. And we had, on that show, we had Park Hopper Sid and Park Hopper John from WDW Park Hoppers. Of course, Kat was there. You joined in the show. Unfortunately, Tony from Disney Parks Podcast, I don't know, it was doing what it did to Bubba, and he couldn't get into the room, and Bub couldn't make the show, so we still had a great time, though.
Yep.
And unfortunately, Eric was having audio issues, so.
Yeah, weird. But anyway, you can check out Dining at Disney, not only on your podcasts, your favorite podcast platforms, but also on Source Radio on the All Talk Network at srsounds.com. It's awesome. You can also check me out there. And thank you for that, Kristen. I appreciate that. That's a lot of fun. I love the Dining at Disney podcast. I'm not just saying that. I really do enjoy the Dining at Disney podcast. But also,
you should. It's delicious discussion.
It is delicious discussion. Another great discussion I had was with Marshall Toomey this past week on Skull Rock Podcast. That is the podcast every week where my co-host Dave Bossert, former Disney special creative force, I should say. I mean, he was creative director of special projects there, but also Disney animator and author. We welcomed Marshall Toomey. And Marshall Toomey worked on Heavy Metal, the cartoon, as well as He-Man and She-Ra for Filmation. But more importantly, for all the Disney fans out there, he worked on, get this, Hercules. He animated Quasimodo. He also worked on Mulan and Hercules, which is great. He also worked on, get this, The Lion King. And he was the lead animator for Rafiki.
Ooh, so that he also was, animated Beast.
He also helped, yes, he also was one of the animators for Beast as well. So he worked on so many great movies, and also Princess and the Frog, which I did made sure to tell him that it was one of our favorite Disney films. The Love Letter to the hand-drawn animation, as it were. So please check out Disney Skull Rock Podcast, almost a Disney list. Skull Rock Podcast for our discussion and interview with Marshall Toomey. Just one heck of a guy. Super, super cool. We also talked a little bit about He-Man and She-Ra, so that was great.
I loved He-Man and She-Ra.
Absolutely. It was good times. Once again, our 80s. We're living the 80s. You can also check me out, Al John Go, on Instagram as well. So anyway, what a great show. Thank you for joining us. And don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And thank you, Sorcerer Radio Network. We do appreciate it. SRSounds.com. You also have a couple other shout-outs you want to do before we close the show up?
Yes. Check out our friends, WDW Park Hoppers. It's Park Hopper Sid and Park Hopper John. Talk about everything having to do with the Walt Disney World Resort, as well as checking out Tony and John on Disney Parks Podcast, where they talk about both Disneyland and Walt Disney World parks.
Next week, we're talking about the top 10 favorite cast member costumes.
Oh,
yes, right?
Okay.
Yeah, cast member costumes. We're going to talk about it next week, so tune in to the Disney list. In the meantime, don't forget to check out great music that you're listening to right now from Replay Heroes on Replay Heroes on Facebook, as well as Spotify. In the meantime, I'm Al John.
And I'm Kristen.
And we'll see you real soon.
This podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or its holdings and is intended for entertainment purposes.
I'm Al John Go, co-host of the Disney List podcast, as heard on Sorcerer Radio, as well as Skull Rock Podcast, here with my wife, Kristen. Hello.
Hello.
You are an earmarked agent who books Disney travel vacations for people all the time. Give our listeners a reason why they'd want to give you a call instead of just booking a trip by themselves.
Well, I can do all of the legwork for them. I have expertise. I've been to the Disney parks well over 100 times. So they've got that knowledge at their hand, as well as it saves them time and money.
Where can people get in touch with you so that they can book their next Disney cruise, Disney park trip, Adventures by Disney?
They can contact me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.